Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll get to your questions for D. Mace in 30 minutes. But first, let's get into your phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam is on the line. What's up, Cam?
Hey, what's going on? So good. I've got kind of a two-part question. Number one, what do you think it would cost to get Mike Munchak to come back to the Titans and coach the offensive line? And second part, what would it cost to get D. Mace to coach the receivers? And, I mean, with that being said, you are going to have to feed and burp and bottle, you know. I'm not going to say his name, but his 16, you know. Oh, but man. Outside of that, what's it going to cost to get D. Mace to start coaching up the receivers?
Right? All right, okay. Let's not stop there. Let's get Keith Bullock to coach the linebackers. Let's get Eddie George to coach the running back. We're going to have the all-star team.
Eddie would have
team.
To quit his head coaching job that he is doing a wonderful job
he's
at.
Got, he could do
TSU.
A side gig. He's got
that
time.
That could be a side gig.
There's plenty of hours.
Man. You and Chris. I'm sure NBA won't mind.
Yeah, NBA won't mind. And I just talked to Chris last night, and I didn't know he was at NBA. He's been at NBA that long. He's been there 18 years.
How about that?
I didn't realize that.
18 years?
Did you guys talk about who's more talented, A.J. Brown or Treylon Burks?
Yeah, we did get into it. He and I got into it, but we did talk briefly about that. I think Rob Moore's doing a wonderful job. I mean, you know, it's difficult. I'm not sure if I can really, you know, coach grown men because a lot of things come into effect. It's not just me coaching you and you playing football and that. You know, you got to deal with the egos and stroke the egos and all this other stuff. And I'm not about that. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you what you need to do, what you don't need to do. I'm going to coach you up. I'm going to love on you, but I'm going to coach you up too. But I'm not here to deal with the, you know, egos and all this other stuff of players nor coaches, you know. Because sometimes coaches can have the biggest ego, and it's not really the players that you have a problem with; it's the other coaches. So, I'm not sure that I could, you know, like every day deal with something like that. And I'm not saying that all coaching staffs and all players are, you know, egotistical, but you have to have some type of ego to play this game or to play any professional sport.
You should have an ego.
Yeah, so.
Know when it can be checked, but.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think Rob Moore is doing a wonderful job there. That whole deal, I mean, it has to find its way. And it has to find its way to working out somehow, some way, with Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. And now what was the first question he asked?
Mike Munchak.
Oh, Mike Munchak. I don't know if it's, hey, Mike, we're sorry the way things happen, you know, and just make it, hopefully it didn't end on a personal issue. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you can be, you know, let go, relieve, cut, and it was like, okay, I knew it was coming. I understand why you did it, and you're able to move on. But then sometimes it can get, you know, personal. And bringing a person back is hard to do because
– there's some scars there.
Yeah, the scars, again, the ego is there. And you just don't like the way things ended. But I hope if indeed – you know, I think that would be one of the smartest coaching moves that Vrabel could make if he then go and hired Mike Munchak and allow him to, this is your, I'm not going to question what you do in regards to the offensive line. That is your job. And I heard Jared said too, yeah, you should make him an assistant coach. I mean, assistant head coach. He should have that title as well. He's earned that title if indeed you were to bring him back. But I think they should look into it. Now, whether they do it or not, I don't know, because I don't know how much Amy was involved in firing, you know, Mike Munchak as the head coach. But if I'm sure if Mike wants to work, you know, he loves the organization, I'm sure. And hopefully he didn't take anything personal or they didn't get personal with him. But, yeah, I would make that call to Mike Munchak and say, hey, listen, what are you thinking, coach? First, do you want to coach again? And then, all right, if we get that, if we get through the you wanting to coach, what would it take to have you back here in Nashville?
I mean, this offensive line needs some serious help. Mm-hmm. Personnel-wise, coaching-wise, because Trevor Maddich, who played offensive line in the NFL, talked with Jared a few weeks ago, and he said part of it is, you know, sometimes you guys just aren't good enough. Sometimes mm-hmm. you guys just aren't big enough. But what he was seeing was regression, even from Peter Skoronski. That's a coaching thing.
And you've got some young guys. You've got Skoronski, mm-hmm. you've got Petit Frere, and you've got Duncan now, who you got to see what you got, right? And now the coaching for young guys is going to be really important. Can you develop them mm-hmm. into guys who get better each year? That's a huge question.
Exactly.
So that's a very important part of this whole thing.
And when you have an offensive line like that, everything is affected. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with Will Levis, where we talked about some of the bad habits he's been developing simply because he has to get the ball out quick. Mm-hmm. And if he's a little bit, you know, if he's seeing a few ghosts, to take a page out of Sam Darnold's book, I don't blame it. It's mm-hmm. not good, but I don't blame him. I mean, half the time he's ending up on his back anyway. And it's also, I think, coming to fruition in the run game as well. Mm-hmm. But that's what I want to get into, is the future of the running back position. And even just looking at this Sunday against the Texans, how much did Tajay Spears prove on Monday night against the Dolphins? How much more do we want to see from Tajay Spears on Sunday against the Texans and even moving forward? Because I thought he had a fantastic game. When Derrick Henry couldn't go anywhere, when Derrick Henry couldn't do anything, when the line couldn't block for him, when as soon as he got the ball, there were a pack of Dolphins all over him, it was Tajay Spears. He was able to pick it up, at least in the passing game. So what did he prove on Monday, and what more do we want to see from him, at least on Sunday against the Texans?
I think he's proved that he's getting better, that he's starting to understand how to play in this league and how to, you know, how to make plays and, you know, things that he needs to start doing consistently from week to week. And you got to build on doing that. You can't just have a great game and then come back the next 2 weeks and you're nowhere to be found. You have to be a consistent player, especially as a young player. You got to be consistent, positively being consistent, not the other way. But learning how to do that every day or every week, not just when it's a big game on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, doing it when we play at 12 o'clock and nobody is watching but the people locally. You got to be able to step your game up and do that each and every week. And I think, you know, they need to continue to feature him, but not take Derrick Henry out of what they plan on doing. I know that's the scary part for everybody. Like, oh, you're going to give him the ball more, which means you're taking away from Derrick. My thing is, do y'all want to win? If y'all want to win, then this is sort of the progression, you know, like the younger guy, the old established, you know, warrior gets older and older, and then a young guy sort of comes and he just takes the mantle and then he proceeds. That's how you want it. You don't want to, you know, for Derrick Henry to retire and now all of a sudden we're trying to find a running back. Like, where's the next running back at? Well, you got somebody in your running back room now that can make plays for you. So before Derrick Henry completely falls off the map, which I don't think will be anytime soon, get this guy involved with what you're doing in the offense. Allow him to get himself comfortable with what's going on, and his playmaking ability will come out as we saw last week with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think if you look back at the last two games, I think we've seen another chapter for Spears. Mm-hmm. He's now had a game where he was a dominant receiver, last Monday. Mm-hmm. And then the week before, he got a chance to be sort of the featured running back for part of the game. And he had, what, 16 carries mm-hmm. and still played really well. And it was kind of on his shoulders at the end because Derrick Henry was in the protocol. Mm-hmm. And he looked really good. He looked comfortable in doing that. And you put it all together, he's averaging 4.9 yards per carry.
Henry, right? Henry or Spears? Spears.
Spears is averaging 4.9 yards per carry. Derrick Henry, 4.1. So it just has me saying again, I'd like to see a little bit more because down the road, he's going to be there longer than Derrick Henry. And it's now a big question that we were trying to tackle yesterday is what's the right role for Henry next year and what's the right price? And does Derrick Henry want to sign up for that? So I wonder if we're going to see a blend of the two again on Sunday.
Caroline, is there a difference? Because I think this is what people got to realize too. Mm-hmm. Is this team looks different when Derrick Henry's running, when Derrick Henry's in the backfield this year. I'm just saying this year. Mm-hmm. Then, and giving Derrick Henry the ball, and it looks different when you give Tajay Spears the ball. Do you see that?
I think they're two different backs.
As far as the offense, to me, and I want you to answer this question too, but to me, this offense looks faster with Tajay Spears. It looks cleaner with Tajay Spears. With Derrick Henry, it looks a little bit slow and clunky. I'm not taking anything away from Derrick Henry. I'm just saying that's how it looks to me. Not that that's a bad thing, but he's more the bruising back.
I think it's for a couple of reasons. One, they're two different backs. Mm-hmm. You know, Derrick Henry is massive, and mm-hmm. Derrick Henry can get you those gross kind of sluggish yards when you need them. Where I think Tajay Spears is more like lightning in a bottle. Like mm-hmm. he can break the tackles. He can be really quick. He can fit into tight spaces. He can catch the ball out of the backfield and add a couple extra yards after the catch. But Derrick Henry is that kind of bruising. Mm-hmm. Continue to give him the ball and he'll continue to just chop away at the yards that you need to get. I think that you need both. And I think this offense works at its best when you do have both. Because even though Derrick Henry, what he had, like 34 yards on mm-hmm. Monday, just his presence, mm-hmm. I think, unlocks something else within the offense.
But the distribution uh-huh. is changing a little bit, and I think that's the direction it needs to keep moving. Because I completely agree. And before, I think there was a lot of, well, you got to give it to Derrick 25 times. Mm-hmm. And I think we're out of that mode now. I want to see it more evenly distributed. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. what do you need in a particular game? And if it's you need the quickness, mm-hmm. which is what the case was on Monday, except down at the goal line, and Henry had a couple of big touchdown runs and traffic, you know, you can't take that for granted.
Right.
Because I see what you're saying, Caroline. It's different styles of running, mm-hmm. for sure. And the other thing we don't know about Spears is, could Spears and his frame, which is smaller, mm-hmm. can he hold up if he's the main man? Mm-hmm. Could he carry it 250, 300 times? A year. We don't know that until he does it. We know he's really good in the role he is, but I think I want to see more to see exactly what you have because, again, he's a rookie. He's going to be there. Mm-hmm. He's showed you something. Derrick Henry's on the back nine of his career.
And I think both things can be true. Mm-hmm. And this is what I believe, that I would like to see more of Tajay Spears. Mm-hmm. That I think that he proved something to me on Monday night, that I'd like to see more from him. Mm-hmm. But I still don't know if he can be the go-to guy. Mm-hmm. I still don't know if I can quite definitively say that he can be your RB1 moving forward and you don't need Derrick Henry. I think that what I believe is that I want to see more from Tajay Spears, but I still want to see Derrick Henry re-signed. And I still think that Will Levis needs Derrick Henry. I still think that when this offense has nothing else, you can turn to 22 and say, all right, get it done for us.
But that is far and few between now. I truly believe that.
Is it?
Yeah, I truly do believe that.
Because before Derrick was in concussion protocol against the Colts, it was kind of the Derrick Henry show.
But it the offense, and this is what I try to get people to understand, there's a difference. Like Derrick is Henry. He is who he is. He's one of those backs that, you know, he's eventually, after a while, he's going to get his yardage. But you got to build him up to it. But this offense looks slower. And I'm only saying that from experience. Like, from experience going from one back to the next. Like, when Eddie was at the end of his career, like when he had the toe injuries and everything, we were a little bit slower as a offense. Not because Eddie wasn't a good back, but because of the injuries and the hits and the carries. It just built up over years. He had been with us, 10 years damn near? I think he ended his career with his 10th year with the Titans, if I'm not mistaken. But then when that young guy came in, we ran fast. Things looked faster and crisper. And those linebackers now didn't know. They couldn't be off a half a step with the new guy. They could be off possibly a half a step with Eddie and still possibly be in a position to at least try to tackle him. Now, tackling Eddie George was still a big task, but trying to tackle him. These are the things you got to think about.
But I don't think you can be off half a step and take down Derrick Henry.
No, no, no. I don't think we're there yet. Yes, you can. You can. We see it every week.
Yeah, I think so.
We see it every week where that first guy comes in and he slows him down. No longer does Derrick, that stiff arm, even though that stiff arm is still there, it's not as impactful as it once was. People are always going, when you game planning for Derrick Henry, you're always going to make sure make sure you – it's still there. The guy still can run. It's still there. Let's make sure that we don't sort of, lose sight of that.
You can't.
But he's not the back that he once was.
I thought that was evident. Yeah. It's interesting. You didn't see the Hard Knocks.
Uh-huh.
And I watched
it. I heard it yesterday. Jarrett was playing it, so I heard it yesterday.
Yes. And so you could see it in the game planning where – it's still a lot of respect, but it's like, okay, if we gang tackle, if we have the right mentality, we can hold him in check. Where I think it wasn't as easily done.
But I think that's also part of the value of Derrick Henry is the Dolphins are like, well, we got to put three men on Derrick. Well, that opens up other opportunities
for
the offense.
But it only opens up other opportunities if you take advantage of it. If you sit there and say, no, we're just going to give it to Derrick Henry, play after play after play, and he's going to be on the field, then eventually, because I'm only talking about things that I see on the field. I don't try to make things up. I don't try to assume things. This is just what my eyes are seeing. Now, my eyes are not great like they used to be, but I damn sure still can see the television. And what I'm seeing is Derrick Henry gets taken down a little bit too easy now. It's one player, and I said this last year, I think. It's one player that we're starting to see that takes Derrick, and we never saw a safety or defensive back take Derrick Henry down. Now you're starting to see it more frequently.
Another side of that, too, is because I'm with you. And
Say the offensive line. I think it's
okay to acknowledge that Derrick Henry's not who he was when he was 25 years old. Like, that's okay, and that's not to be expected. Another side of that is the offensive line.
And I get that part, but then we can say that about Tajay Spears.
But Tajay Spears is average.
Just think what he's doing with this offensive line. If it got better, he would be – I'm not going to say he's going to average 5 or 6 yards a carry, but you will see more explosive plays from this young guy. People don't want
to – yeah, I think that's fair to assume with a better offensive line, better run blocking.
I think the whole – we love Derrick Henry so much that because of how he held this franchise together for the 3 or 4 years where he was on top, the best back on one of the best, top 10 player in this league, period. Now, I'm not just talking about running backs, but we're so still enamored by that. Like, that picture of Derrick Henry stiff-arming the Jacksonville Jaguar, like 20 of them, even a head coach, and running 99 yards, that is still embedded in our brain. But he's not that player anymore. We got to understand that the new guy.
But I also think that it's important that that's still embedded in a lot of defensive coordinators.
Oh, it is. But when you know you're taped, there are some things you're not going to say, and you're going to show the utmost respect. But I guarantee you guys in our locker room is like, yeah, we respect him, but he ain't the same back.
There's no question.
Yeah,
there's some
the same
playing
back.
To the cameras.
Exactly.
And,
you
and
have
the hard
to.
Knocks. There's playing to the cameras.
There's,
mm-hmm. And
there's
that's what
no
I don't
way
enjoy about
say,
it.
Yeah. Oh, we don't respect Henry no more. He's not the back that he once was.
I haven't watched Hard Knocks yet. I haven't gotten a chance to. How much do they talk about D-Hop?
None. But again, it's a 45-minute show, and they're trying to do the families and stuff like that. So it wasn't all about the game.
I do think that's telling, though. Because I haven't watched it, but at least from the sounds of it, it sounds like they were talking about Derrick Henry.
Because of the rookie quarterback. You got to understand that, too.
Yeah,
but they're not talking about D-Hop.
It doesn't. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that they didn't throughout the week. There, you had a really small little window.
They would be dumb to not talk about DeAndre Hopkins at all throughout the week. But I do think that the soundbite
that was it was just because look, Mike McDaniel, who, he plays the cameras I think more than anybody, and he's not funny. He thinks he's funny, but he basically is saying
kind of a weird dude.
He's a weird dude. Smart dude, but weird. But he, the soundbite was, look, if you allow yourself to get stiff-armed by Derrick Henry, you're going viral. And so you could tell he prepared that line. He knows the cameras are on him. He thinks he's going to be really funny.
But is he wrong?
No, he's not wrong. And this is why this is another thing that I think about is that presence of Henry, when they fake it to him on first down, it gives you time to throw. And they've had a lot of good success early down throwing by faking it to Henry, the play action. Can Spears get to that point where the defense is saying, we got to cheat up to get Spears? That's what we don't know right now.
But I do think, because you bring up the rookie quarterback, having Derrick Henry for a rookie quarterback next season is invaluable.
I get.
Whether he's the same back that he was in 2019 or not.
I don't think that's 100% true.
Why not?
And I'll tell you that on the other side.
We'll get into that coming up next. We'll also get into your questions for D-Mace, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards. And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D-Mace is presented by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet because life is just too short to eat bad pizza. Want to get into your questions for D-Mace. But before we get into questions, D-Mace left us on a little cliffhanger. I said I think that having Derrick Henry back next year for Will Levis is invaluable for a young quarterback and for his development. You didn't necessarily agree.
Not 100% agreed. It's not like I'm saying, no, they don't, like, at all costs, don't bring Derrick Henry back. But if you cannot, work out a deal that is fair to Derrick Henry, but also fair to the organization, allows you still to do some things, which it shouldn't, because you're not going to pay him what he's making now. But, I just think it's because if it's his first year starting, and he hadn't started any games this year, then yes, I think it's critical to have Derrick Henry in the backfield. Because to me, besides your offensive line, your best friends, a quarterback's best friends, are, the tight end to me. Receivers are receivers, but this is beside, I'm talking about within the box. The most important thing I think for a young quarterback is a good tight end and a back that can get you those tough yards, or a back that you can rely on, just hand the ball off, rely on. And you could take some of the sort of pressure off of the young quarterback. But this is not going – he's at this point, barring any injuries, he would have started, nine games of the season. So he's built up, I believe, enough confidence as a young quarterback to know, this is what I'm seeing. I believe what I see. I need to get better in the offseason. We will, really tackle other teams' defense and try to figure out their nuances. But I have something to start with now. I know the NFL to an extent. I don't need necessarily the training wheels anymore, because essentially that's what Derrick Henry would be, training wheels for your young quarterback. But going into next season, take the training wheels off. You don't need the training wheels. The NFL has moved to a place where the receivers are more valuable than your running back. put somebody else alongside D-Hop, Treylon Burks, and get you somebody else, just a flat-out burner. That's going to help him. Chig, another year. Hopefully he gets continue to get better. Wiley, another young guy, getting better within the system. The biggest asset for Will Levis is that he gets comfortable with the pass catchers. He trusts the pass catchers. When you trust the pass catchers, you don't lean heavy. You don't look to lean heavy on the running back anymore. I trust my guys outside. And then, obviously, the big elephant in the room is the offensive line.
Yeah.
You get him an offensive line that is, let's just say, half better than what they are now. His confidence continues to grow because now he thinks, I got time to throw the football. You know, I just need a back in the backfield that can get me, you know, 4 yards a pop. He may get 100 yards. He may not. But he gets those big plays for us. We're not in a place where we need Derrick Henry necessarily, the grinder and the big back. Would we love to have him? Absolutely. But if he leaves, it's not like my quarterback is just going to lose his mind now and he can't play anymore. Let me get him another wide receiver. Let's build up this offensive line, and then we can go there. If we can sign Derrick Henry back, that'd be great. That's a plus. Mm-hmm. But if we don't, Will Levis is not just going to fall off the map.
Yeah, I think the price point is going to be very tricky there, especially if you're trying to sell Derrick Henry on, we'd like you to be part of a tandem now for a lot less money.
Exactly.
How is he going to take that? Where does he want to go? It's a major, major question. Because in a vacuum where that's hard enough, but when you put the salary cap on it together and he's been making the money he's been making, I think it's even more difficult.
The deal has to be right. Absolutely. Yeah. You're not going to say, okay, we'll pay Derek $18 million a year if that's what it takes to keep him. You're not going to do that. Yeah. You have to be smart with it. You know, this Titans team is one with a lot of needs and not a whole lot of resources, so the deal has to make sense, of course. But you mentioned the training wheels for Will Levis. There are some things where, you know, in life where you need to just take off the training wheels. You need to just move on. You don't necessarily have to with Derrick Henry. If you can get to a number that makes sense, it's only positive for Will Levis to be able to have that veteran back to go to. If the numbers don't make sense, they don't make sense.
And that's why I said I'm not saying you're wrong, period. I sort of the right and the wrong thing sort of sounds, that's not the right word to use what you're saying in regards to Derrick Henry. I just don't think, I don't think he would totally just fall off the map. I don't think
he's not going to have Derrick Henry forever.
Exactly. I don't think this offense would just, you know, sort of regress more than what they have this season. I don't think that happened. Having Derrick Henry back, yes, it helps. I'm not going to say it doesn't. So I don't want to make people think that, you know, I'm not an advocate or a fan of Derrick Henry, because I am. But I also understand and know this league too. I look at it from a different perspective than a lot of other people do. And, you know, that, like Willie, he looks at it from a different perspective in regards to hockey, because he's there, he's calling a game. I see it from a different. So when I discuss things, you know, Willie may agree, but it may not be the whole story. So when you're saying things or anybody else said things about Derrick Henry, I understand what you're saying. But because I've been there and I've been in a situation like the Titans are in with Derrick Henry, been through it with Eddie George and, you know, toward the latter part of his career, I know that having him is a plus, or having him is just, okay, we got Derrick Henry. But losing him isn't like the end of the world either, you know, because this is a quarterback-driven league.
All right, that's a good lead-in to some of the questions for you, D-Mace. Here's one. Glenn from Greenbrier, because I think you're envisioning a new era like I am. So he says, D-Mace, what do you think of this? Titans need to make the transition. Instead of 60-40 run, it needs to be 60-40 pass. Now, the numbers aren't exactly like that, but we know the mentality has been grind it, run it. Do you think with now what you're seeing from Levis, it is going to be more of a modern offense?
Yeah, it's going to be more what we see today. And this is why I said that last game, I give it all to Tim Kelly and the quarterback. I'm not taking anything away from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, but we saw what I think Tim Kelly envisions this offense to be. We saw it this past weekend. And that's what we want to see more. You got a big arm quarterback. You're slowly bringing him along this year. You hope when the offseason, we just going to tackle the playbook. We're going to tackle watching all the film of this prior year so you can know and understand defenses. But the league is, we got to start throwing the football. And I'm not saying it needs to be 80-20, but this is a passing league. You know, we play great defense, and we can run the football if we want to, but we need to be able to pass. The Titans have shown they can run the football. Mm-hmm. They hadn't shown they could pass consistently every game. And that's what they need to prove moving forward with this new quarterback.
And I'm with you. You need to start evolving with the league.
Exactly, yes.
I think you can still do that with Derrick Henry.
You can, but he can't be. Okay. You can, but you can't make him the focal point. If you make him the focal point, you're not advancing with the NFL. You're not. Why? Because you got to give him the ball 25 times. 25 to 30 times, especially now because he needs to get ramped up.
And I think we're out of that era now.
Yeah.
I think it's already very evident to me that they're moving out of that phase.
And it's beneficial to Derrick Henry, too, because now I don't get beat up every game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's been effective. Yeah.
Let's get back into your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes in Hermitage is on the line. What's up, Wes?
Oh, good afternoon. How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
We normally start with a dad joke, but today I'm just going to start with this. Mm-hmm. Whoever it was that stole my my copy of Microsoft Office, I am going to find you. You have my word.
Somebody stole your coffee?
No. The copy of Microsoft Office got stolen. And I said, I'm going to find them because they have my word.
Oh.
I knew you snuck it in because you said you wasn't going, but then you snuck it in. Sneak attack. There you go. I got two questions for you. I'm going to ask the funny one first because I don't think that you're going to even take any consideration into this, but what would it do for everybody at 102.5 to get you to visit with Caroline and Jared on Wednesdays for Jared versus teammates?
I don't want no pressure. I don't want my blood pressure high, okay?
Either. I don't even think Caroline does either.
I don't want my blood pressure high.
Of course I went teammates there.
My blood pressure.
No. Yeah. I didn't think you wanted to be a part of. I'm giving you a hard time.
Oh, it's a peak of my week, I'll tell you that.
But my real question
makes you feel
is,
alive.
I keep seeing, it's pretty obvious, Belichick's not going to be back as the Patriots coach next year. But I keep seeing this weird stuff, and I can't find any kind of source or sources on it. But there's a lot of talk that, like, Belichick wants to come to the Tennessee Titans and be a defensive coordinator.
Where are you hearing this stuff, really?
Twitter.
It's just all social media, man. Like I said,
social
I'm not
media, but, like,
source.
Reporters on social media or just people? Just, like, throwing stuff at ideas
really
out of
it. It's hard to figure out because some of these people have check marks that don't need check marks.
I
can't see him being a DC for Vrabel. I just feel like that's a
DC for Vrabel.
Thank you for your call, Wes. I've seen some of those things floated around on Twitter, and I do think it's just people that are just throwing things around. Bill Belichick has a house in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I think that's where everybody's getting this idea. Bill Belichick's not going to come coach for the Titans. Nor should the Titans want Bill Belichick to come coach for them.
He's under contract
for the next year.
For the next year.
Yeah. If he gets fired.
If he gets fired.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't see Bill Belichick.
Our buddy Jimmy Shapiro just put out odds that he's the favorite to be the next Chargers full-time head coach.
If I'm the Chargers,
Jim
I wouldn't
Harbaugh
want to do
to the
that
Chargers.
Either.
So he's simultaneously the coach that's got odds to get fired, mm-hmm. and the favorite to get a job that just became open today, mm-hmm. that he couldn't get until next year because he's not fired.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There you go. I don't know.
Let's get to one more phone call. Mike is on the line with a question for D-Maze. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, D-Maze, really quick, man. Mm-hmm. I know you said that you don't like to stroke the egos of these wide receivers, but I think that's why you would be a great coach, is because you've been in the NFL. You've had a ton of success, and kind of like Vrabel, you know, I don't think Vrabel strokes anybody's egos, and that's why a lot of players respect him, because he has a lot of success. So, anyways, I'll leave that there. But my question is, Do you believe that Derek has at least a couple more 1,000-yard seasons in him if they had a better offensive line, even slightly better? Because right now I believe we're one of the worst. Mm-hmm. And then second off, do you think that Tajay Spears is a 200 to 300 touchback? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think he is. And I know we haven't seen him do it, but he's a small guy. And, there's very little running backs in this league that I've seen as of late, like, you know, Christian McCaffrey or somebody, who can get that heavy workload and stay healthy consistently. So do you really think he's that capable of doing that? And I'll just leave that there.
Thanks for the call, Mike. And it's a fair question in regards to, Tajay Spears. But I don't think – listen, Tajay Spears is not as small as what y'all think he is. He's a thicker guy. He's not 6'2", 6'3", like Derrick Henry. He's about 5'10", 5'11". But he's a thicker, tougher individual. Not all backs are Derrick Henry. There's not many backs in the NFL that is 6'1", 6'2". The running backs usually range from 5'8 to right around 6 foot, somewhere around there.
Stocky.
Between that 200 and 230. I wouldn't want Tajay Spears to run the ball, 300 times a season. I wouldn't want that. Hell, I don't want it for Derrick Henry anymore because it just beats your body up. But do I think and believe Derrick Henry can be a 1,000-yard back in this league? Yes, I think he still can. You get you a better line. But just, again, I'm all about – some people just – if you're looking at it, you look at the numbers, oh, he's a 1,000-yard back, great. But not all 1,000 yards are created equal.
Right.
They're not.
1,000 yards in and of itself is not the end game.
Exactly. The end game is being able to, be explosive, being able to grind out the clock, being available. Mm-hmm. And if you're available every game and you are a good back in this league with a good offensive line, you should get over 1,000 yards because now you got an extra game to do it. So I don't look at it from the standpoint of Derrick Henry 1,000 yards because, he's damn near 1,000 yards now.
Yeah, he's got to get his 1,000
yards. Has that made the offense, any better than what they were last year? No, it hasn't, honestly. And that's not saying it's Derrick Henry's fault. I'm just saying the 1,000 yards now isn't the end-all, be-all. Just like the more talented guy versus the numbers guy. Just because you got a lot of numbers doesn't mean you're more talented than the next guy over there.
Let's get into more questions for D-Mace coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. Presented by Calabria Pizza. Come try their pizza in Goodlettsville and Mount Juliet because life is just too short to eat bad pizza. Let's get back into your phones. Your questions for D-Mace. Michael is on the line. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to start out with a dad joke for you real quick. So I just recently bought a water bed, but I wanted to jump real high on it. So what do you think I should do about that?
Water bed that you want to jump, put a, a diving board on it attached to it.
Yeah. You replace the inside of it with spring water.
Okay, that was a good one.
Yes. You've heard all the dad jokes. Awesome.
Here comes another one.
Well, go ahead. What's
never
going to
run out. So, with the last game that we just played against the Dolphins, Derek hit 10 touchdowns for the sixth year in a row, and he only became the third NFL running back to ever do that in six consecutive years. I think joining LaDainian Tomlinson and Adrian Peterson on that list is the only other two guys to do it. So with that being said, what do you think that he needs to do to officially cement himself as a Hall of Famer if he's not already there? And do you think that he's already there for one? If not, what else should he have to accomplish in his career? Because he's real close to 10,000 yards and he's close to 100 total touchdowns.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Michael.
What is it that Derrick Henry needs to do? I think one thing that would help just in general, if they can find a way to re-sign him here. He doesn't need if they do re-sign him here, he doesn't need to be the main guy. But I think it looks a little bit different when you remain with the team that you started with, and then you retire, and you know, then people know, like, okay, we seen him at his best. We seen him sort of decline a little bit. He still had, but when you go to another team, the priority, you know, isn't the same as it was when you're with your original team, the Titans. They don't look at you the same. They don't, you know, not, they don't cherish you the way that the Titans cherish you. They're getting you because they believe, you know, really that you possibly can help them get to a Super Bowl. The Titans keep you. Yeah, they're hoping you can get to they're hoping that they can get to a Super Bowl with you, but it's more than that. It's what you've done for us in the past, the type of player, the type of person you've been on and off the field. I think that weighs heavy, you know, on, say, the voters. But then his numbers are there. You know, he gets over 10,000 yards. He's averaging, I think, for his career, 4.3, 4.4, somewhere around there, yards per game. You have the touchdowns. So, to me, as long as he can get over that 10,000-yard mark and don't fall completely off the cliff, I think it's almost a lock for him, I believe, in the Hall of Fame. It's going to take some years after the 5 years of, you know, you got to wait 5 years before you're even on a ballot. I think it's going to take some years after that. I don't know how many years, but it's going to take some years after that for him to get in. Just like it has taken a lot of these backs. You know, Jerome Bettis didn't get in as soon as he was eligible. Mm-hmm. It took some years after that.
That's Jerome Bettis.
Exactly. So, you know, do I believe he's done enough to be in the Hall of Fame? Hell yeah, I do. Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Hell yeah, he does. When does he get there? I don't know.
And it's also interesting to think about how running back, just the view of running backs has shifted. Mm-hmm. I do wonder how that kind of shifts with Hall of Fame voters.
Yeah, because he's sort of the throwback.
He's kind. The last of the of the true throwback big backs. It was like that era. Once Derrick Henry calls it quits, I think that era will be dead. It will be done. It will be over with. Of the big bruising back that can run the way he runs, because teams are not looking to put that much, you know, into their running back in regards to, we need you to carry the team. We need you to be that, you know, 300 carry plus carry back per year. Teams are starting to split it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be harder and harder for running backs to even be put in that class of potential Hall of Famers. Not because they don't have the talent or the potential or the ability to do it, but because the league has changed, you're not going to get as many carries as you used to get.
I also think he needs to be on another winning team. He hasn't had, you know, that Super Bowl MVP, Franco Harris, you know, a Tony Dorsett. You know, those guys all had their moment in the sun. Emmitt Smith, I mean, obviously Emmitt Smith was going to get there regardless, but when you have that vision of a guy holding up the Super Bowl trophy, it helps. It gives you the boost.
If he
goes anywhere, you know that better than anybody, right?
If he goes anywhere and get a Super Bowl, that pretty much locks it in for him.
So I think he also needs to keep going, because the longevity would be something that can also separate you, like a Frank Gore, right? And so I think if he continues to – if he were to stop after this year, then I think it's pretty borderline, as great as he's been, because you start looking at all these other things. It's harder to get in there, right? Because every 10 years that goes by, there's a whole another decade of people you're considering. Whereas in 1980, when Larry Zonka was up there, if you look at Larry Zonka's numbers, they're okay, but he got it. Like, he was great in his time, one of the best of his time.
Yeah, I think if he gets to 10,000 yards, that leads to longevity that running backs just don't have.
But Eddie Dorsey's got 10,000 yards.
Yeah.
And he's not in there.
And it's taken him a long time to even get to a semifinal.
Right. And he should be. And I do think 10,000 yards in the 2020s, how much different does that look than maybe
That's a good point. Yeah. Very good point.
In the 90s. Appreciate everyone for their questions for D. Mace. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and D. Mace at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 15 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.